And the only time we came home was when we come home to take a bath and change clothes and go right back. For 3 weeks we've done that. We didn't get out of, get home for 3 weeks to stay, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we worked part-time on the beach, like the East End. We had a lot of trouble in the East End at that time. The beer taverns for the union men. We worked the beer taverns and then worked the strike duty down at the corner of Detroit and Elm Avenue. And then they had every road block coming into town. And they had a block out at the junction of 24 and 25 north of Monroe. Mm-hmm. And when they had about 150 cars coming in from Detroit, union men, and they were out there, they had the roadblock, everybody had shotguns, and they stopped them from coming in. And then some came in Ezekiel, got into town, that was mostly colored, and one colored man, pretty good sized man, came in and was going to tear up the post office. And two policemen went over on the call, and all of the, most every man in town, citizen in Monroe, had clubs and guns, you know. Mm-hmm. And they got a hold of this nigger and they killed him there in front of the post office.
They killed him?
And Mayor Nags was mayor at the time. And the union and this fellow's family started suing in the town, but they never went through. They can't put it out. But then they tipped cars over on Elm Avenue, tipped them into the river, you know, and break up everything. If somebody tried to drive through, they'd break up their car, you know, windshields and stuff. And finally, Mayor Nag said, we're going to break it up. We're not going to let them run the steel mill out of town, because the steel mill had only been in just a short time. And so they got military in here, and they shot gas bombs into the crowd. And there was one guy that had some big shot in the union, had a flat straw hat on, full-time straw hat. And I could still see him running through an orchard. There was a fence there, and he took off through the orchard and probably didn't see me running. It was the funniest thing to see him. I could still see him running across there. But that broke it up. So we had the roads blocked for 2 or 3 weeks coming into town to check everybody when they came in after that. But the steel mill finally went out because of the strike. The union would go along with it.
How long after the strike did Newton Steel leave, do you know?
I can't remember just how long it was. And I can't remember who went in after the steel mill went out. But it was some wheel company went in there. And then I forget what it was. There was another company that went in before Ford went in there. I don't remember who it was or anything. Mm-hmm. But we all got a plaque, you know, from the city, putting in our time there. That's all we got. No money or anything. All we got was just a plaque for being up for 3 or 4 weeks. Then we got home and we just changed clothes to the shower. They carried sandwiches up to us to eat. And then we got waiting station, they put sandwiches and coffee to us. Mm-hmm. The whole town was upset. They had every road on, everybody around carrying shotguns or pistols or nightsticks. It was quite a deal. But the union was going to come into Detroit and take over the town, but they got it stopped. I can't remember all the circumstances, but I do know that we worked a lot of hours, and I think I'm the last one alive that was on the police department at that time.
Do you remember exactly what you did on the day that the picket line was broken?
What I done?
What you were doing?
Yeah, I was on Elm Avenue down there waiting to, for them to break it up. I was right at in where they shot the gas shells.
You weren't participating in that, though?
Well, to a certain extent, we was guarding, you know, the cars and stuff. Sort of on guard at Detroit Avenue and Elm Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Now, the people that worked at the Newton Steel, were they mostly outsiders, or were there a lot of people right from Monroe that worked there?
Well, there were a lot of people from Monroe, and others moved in with the steel mill. When the steel mill came in, there was other families moved in there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Do you know anything about the work day at the plant, how they, the work conditions were or anything?
No, I couldn't tell you because I never was in there. Never was in the plant. See, the plant came in, it wasn't union. They started to unionize the plant, and then company went again, and then they put on the strike there. But it was mostly outside union men that came in here and caused the trouble.
Do you have any idea why people would want to join or oppose the CIO at that time?
Well, there wasn't too many union shops around at that time. You know, the union was just coming in at that time. Mostly the coal miners union, you know. Joe Lewis, the head of coal mines, and they formed these other unions, and they wanted to get every plant in the country in the union line, and they didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they drove the steel mill out of town.
The strike caused the plant to leave? You knew just Fisher pretty well, chief of police. Can you tell me what kind of person he was?
He was, Jess Fisher was a funny man. If you didn't run to him with everything that went on, he didn't like it. And he and I disagreed on a lot of things. When I worked for him for probably 20 years. He was chief for about 20 years by my retirement.
Did you disagree about anything during the strike?
Pardon?
Did you?
He'd inside of the office most of the time.
Oh.
He and the mayor would go out for a ride once in a while, but they didn't smoke around the picket line.
What about the Mayor Nags?
The what?
Mayor Nags.
Mayor Nags? He's a wonderful man. He was really good.
You feel he handled it well, the strike?
Yes, I think he did. Yes, he handled it well.
How about Joseph Barley? Do you know him? Monroe County Sheriff?
He was sheriff for quite a few years. There wasn't much of a sheriff department at that time. There was only about five men besides the sheriff.
Mm-hmm. And they had the special deputies?
Yeah, they had a lot of special deputies on.
Did you work with them? Or?
Well, we were deputized. I've been deputized since 1936. Still deputized.
Did you know anyone that was involved with the CIO or with Republic Steel?
It was, wasn't that Newton Steel?
It was Newton Steel, but I believe it was part of Republic Steel.
I think all Newton Steel here came in from Pennsylvania, I think, didn't it?
Ohio, I believe Newton Falls, Ohio.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. That's right, Newton Falls, oh, yeah. No, I didn't. Never got acquainted with any of the big shots down there. I never messed around with them.
Mm-hmm.
See, we worked 12 hours a night. Then it was Tuesday. We worked 12 hours a night. that it's when the strike was 9. And we worked 13 hours on Saturday. And I worked from December 1st until July without a day off. Because they didn't only have 10 patrolmen at the time I went on there. So they didn't, you know, it was a small department.
Approximately how many did they have on during the strike?
Oh, they had everybody deputized in town. Everybody deputized with carrying guns. The only one that I know of now that's around is Omar Burkett. You know Clarence Burkett out at the auction?
Mm-hmm.
His brother. He was a young one at that time. He was probably 18 or 20. And Clarence Burkett told me that he was deputized at the time, but I didn't know him then. You know, there were so many strangers in town. And didn't know too many, and I hadn't been on the police department too long.
The strangers, you know, working for Newton Steel, or
pardon?
Strangers working for Newton Steel?
No, strangers coming into town in Detroit, Toledo. You know, people with the union men.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all heavy drinkers. They had a lot of trouble with drunks at that time, and fights.
From the CIO union?
Well, I guess it was a CIO at that time. I don't know what union it was at that time. It was a, some kind of a steel.
Yeah, United Steel.
Yeah. I think it was. I don't know what union it was. I can't remember now what the union was. What's going at that time?
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about Leonidas McDonald?
Who?
Leonidas McDonald. He was a black man that I guess he had beat up at the post office, and then they ran him out of town.
He was the one that was beat up at the post office? And then they beat up two of them at the post office. One of them was killed. Was he the one that was beat up at the post office? I come up there right after the beat.
This Mr. McDonald, they ran out of town. He was outside instigator for the union.
He's the one that was going to tear up the post office property. Maybe they did kill him. Maybe they just beat him up so bad that I know he sued the city, or they sued the city over, but it didn't go through. It almost straight out of court. But they had one that was going to tear up the post office. We had quite a few colored came into town from Detroit, mostly Detroit.
What was Monroe like during the Depression before Newton Steel came in?
Well, I worked for 7 days a week for $18 a day. Everything was dead here. It was going, you know, the town was going, but Mayor Nags had a grocery store right where that United building is on Monroe Street, just south of the bridge on that side. Mayor Nags had a grocery store there at that time. And there was a lot of people on the welfare, and there was a lot of people that got groceries on time, you know, never paid them. That's the reason we went out of business. Mm-hmm. Couldn't pay their grocery bills. Everything was dead.
So Newton Steel meant quite a bit to the people when it
That's
came.
That's right. It built it up, you know, a lot of people. Jess Fisher quit the police department. He was chief here, and he quit the chief police department and went down there as chief. But he left there before the strike started to come back and got on this. Mayor Nags made him chief of police here again after he had quit and went there, and then he come back here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't get along too well together, the chief and I, but I must have been all right, because working up many years, you know.
Mm-hmm. What were your own personal feelings about the strikers?
About the strikers?
Yeah.
Well, I felt like shooting everyone. They caused a lot of trouble. Most all of them that came in were colored, you know. And some big men come in, too. And the mafia, I think, was tied up in it to a certain extent. Well, we had some men here in town that were tied up with mafia. You know. And I think the mafia had a lot to do with what they found and carried up cars and stuff. Mm-hmm. They drove them off in the river. A lot of cars in the river down there. Tear up everything coming home.
What kind of a lasting impact, if any, did the strike have on the city?
On the city?
Yeah.
Oh, it was slowed right down. There wasn't anything doing it for about 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. People were afraid to get out.
Go out of their house?
Yeah, they were afraid to go out, you know, because everybody had shotguns and clubs.
So it didn't really end when they broke the picket line. They kept going after that then, right? The problems?
Oh, no. It settled down shortly after that. I don't even remember the time of year that was. It was in the summertime or spring. It must have been because this one guy had a straw hat on. I could still hear growing through that orchard. And he was one of the big shots in the union.
Was he being chased? Or was he just running away?
He was just running away to get away from the gas.
Oh.
That was something. I waited till the wind was blowing that way, you know, away from us blowing to the east, before they shot the shells off. Everybody was running every which way, running into each other. It was quite a deal.
Is there anything else you can remember about it, or?
Not too much. Wasn't too much about it, only that everybody in town had shotguns. Rifles or something.
They carried them right with them on the street?
Oh, yeah. And every street in town was blocked. They went up those streets, like M50 and South Dixie. Of course, there wasn't no expressway then. All the streets coming in town were blocked. There was about 150 cars coming into Monroe from Detroit. And they got them stopped out in 24 and 25. Some of them got around them, but they got stopped here on North Monroe Street. The telegraph rooms just got them stopped. They didn't get in here. If they'd have got in here, we'd have really had it back.
Now, was that the police force that had that blocked, or was it citizens that blocked it?
Well, it was mostly citizens, because there wasn't much of a police force. They were all here in town. See, the sheriff department was in on it, too, but they only had about 5 men, and the city only had altogether about 15 or 18 men. About 18 men, I think, on the police department at that time. Now they got 55 or more, maybe not. So they had 2 cars running at the time, police cars.
2 police cars?
Captain would have 1 car, a patrolman, and a lieutenant in the other car. And we never changed shifts. We worked steady at night for a long time.
The rest of you walked. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't happen to still have that plaque.
I can't find it. I don't know what ever happened to it. I can't find it. I'll show you my nightstick. I worked on it. I used to sit on the desk for that. See how I sanded it and varnished it? Of course, I had 2 or 3 different ones, but this one I'd sit on the disc. I'd sand it and varnish it and sand it and varnish it. It's made out of white ash.
Mm-hmm. hard.
I never had to hit anyone with it, though. Never did. And we wouldn't carry them working the Eastern beat after the strike, you know. It was pretty tough down there years ago. I wouldn't carry a nightstick because if you carried that, they figured you were looking for trouble. So, we didn't carry it. I didn't. Some of them did, but I wouldn't carry a nightstick. Had a sapper. We called it a sapper. Blackjack, you know.
That's
what
you carried instead of that?
But I never hit anyone with that. Never had to shoot anybody. Had chances to, but I never did. I never wanted to take a life.
Yes.
You know, it's something you can't give back. I was fortunate. I got hit twice while I was in the police department. Well, I was hit twice, and then one time they kicked me back of the ear, knocked my cap off, knocked me by half silly. Then I didn't lock him up, give him to his mother, take home. I enjoyed the police department. If I had it to do over again, I probably would do the same thing. But we had to retire at 60. And when I was 6 years old, I had to retire. Well, I figured that I was better than some of the young guys that were on there.
They had the state police in on this too, didn't they?
Oh yes, state police were here. But they only had a post in Salt Rockwood. There wasn't any in Erie or Flat Rock. They had a post in Salt Rockwood. There was only about 5 men there.
Do you know Roy Butler or Harry Davenport? Did you know them?
Roy Butler was there, but Harry Davenport, he was just a citizen. He wasn't on the police department. He could have been on the sheriff's department at one time, but I don't know if he was. Was he supposed to have been a policeman?
It says here he's commander of Citizens Battalion.
Oh, wait. He was on the National Guard. He was from the National Guard. See, the National Guard was in there.
That was for what happened at the post office, right? Or was that the strike?
What?
The National Guard?
They were all over town. Yeah, he was the National Guard. He was commander of that post, the National Guard.
Mm-hmm. About how many strikers were there on the picket line when you broke it?
Well, I would say probably 150 to 200.
And how many people all together went in to break it up?
Well, there was about probably all of the police department and the sheriff department and National Guard. There probably was 25 or 30 in this county.
Do you think something like that could happen to Monroe again?
Pardon?
Do you think something like this could happen in Monroe again?
I doubt it. No. There's not enough industry here to make anything. We've had strikes since that. Consolidated had a strike, and Monroe Auto Equipment. They had quite a strike there at one time. We had quite a lot of trouble there. Auto Equipment was going to move out. They stopped the train. And there were 6 of us policemen in the car. And one of them, I was sitting in the front seat next to the door. And one of the guys, there was a whole bunch of guys on the sidewalk, and one of them said something I didn't like, and I jumped right out of the car on top of him. He called me a name and I didn't like it. And that almost flooded a battle. The captain got on my neck for it. No, I don't think we'll ever have any trouble here. Yeah, not like that anymore. Mm-hmm. If they do have a strike, it'll be just swollen, you know, like Fort Plant or something like that. And one more, you know. That was the first town, I guess, in the state of Michigan that they ever woke up for union, you know. Mm-hmm. But Mayor Knight said we won't have
the union?
Won't have the union unless Steel Mill wants it. They didn't want it. They did so. I don't think they were unionized at that time. Not that I know of. Whether they were unionized and they wanted more money or what, I don't know. But I don't think they were unionized at that time because Mayor Knight didn't really have no strikes in this town. So, he's going to stop it, and we did.
Okay.
He was a wonderful man, that Mayor Knight. He's the one who put me to work. I could have went on the police department or the fire department. But I couldn't see the fire department. Well, I could be.
Except when there's fire.
Yeah. And then, wouldn't there be a big fire like we had on East Front Street when quick moving and storage worked? It was below zero. And the firemen were all up, and the fire was warm. And we had to stand out on corners to stop traffic. And the Red Cross would drive right by us and take coffee to the fire department where they was up with the fire where it was warm, and we were standing way back freezing to death.
Was there a Red Cross during the strike here in Monroe?
There could have been, but I don't remember any of it. They done anything they done. I suppose there was a Red Cross in, but I can't remember anything they done. The Salvation Army helped with coffee at the time a lot. But I don't remember the Red Cross. Mm-hmm.
So, about how many hours a day did you have to be on duty?
You said 24 hours a day.
That you were on call? I mean, did they have just so many hours that you had to be outside walking?
No, set hours. We had cots upstairs in the city building. And if we was out all 15, 18 hours, where we could run in and lay down for a few minutes. Sometimes you'd get a half hour, sometimes you'd get an hour sleep. And they'd call you, out you'd go again. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a set time. And of course, on the police department, you're on duty 24 hours a day, you're on the call, you know. I was called out a lot at night when they didn't have many men, you know, in the daytime, because work nights all the time, 12 hours a night. I think it was about, 1940, we went on 10 hours. About 1940, we went on 10 hours, and then about, I don't know, somewhere around 45, we went on 8 hours. It was a long week. 12 hours a night, and then 13 hours on Saturday. Some of you know.
You got Sundays off?
No, we didn't get no days off. And the only time we got a day off was if everybody worked. And then once in a while, I want to get a day off. I worked about 6 months without a day off. The newer ones, you know, different time back then. That went on for about a year, and then afterwards, they hired two more men and then get a day off a week.
So is there anything else you can remember about the strike? Or?
I guess, I don't know. That's quite a long time ago, 37. Yeah. If your mother stayed with us ever or not, because she had another thing, so I don't know what year she stayed with us. She told me that, you know, what she wants to do. We always got the woman who got the food to stay with us. most of them are out of town, you know, more than ordinary times. That's about it on the strike, at least. But I think I'm the only one that's living that was on the police department at that time.